Amen. You enjoy that singing, say amen.
Amen.
Good job, kids. Amen. Take your Bible and turn to 1 Kings chapter number 17. 1 Kings chapter number 17. Give you a simple thought tonight and we'll go to the house and eat a hot dog or something, amen. 1 Kings chapter number 17. Going to look at a couple of places in chapter number 17. Talk about Elijah for a little bit tonight. Elijah and Elisha. Turn me up just a tad, Brother James. Elijah and Elisha are two of my favorite Old Testament characters. Joshua being my most favorite. But I love reading about the life of Elijah and Elisha. And you just follow the life of these men, and God does some amazing and miraculous things in their life and through their life. Wouldn't you agree? Amen. You read about Elijah and you watch his life and you go, wow, buddy, God could never use anybody any more than that. But then Elisha comes up right there at the end, and Elijah says, Elisha, ask me anything you want and I'll give it to you. He said, I want a double portion of what you got. And you know what? He did exactly double what Elijah did. Just absolutely, I don't think God's through using people. I believe people are through using God. That's the problem. Amen. We've got this socialistic kind of religion that don't even need a Bible anymore. They preaching out of a comic book. They ain't even really preaching. They're giving little motivational speeches. That they ought to just get them a TV show and be Dr. Phil. I mean, there's no difference there. Listen, man, I believe we need God just like Elijah need God, just like Elisha needed God. We need God to move in America. I may never get to the message tonight. While we were in the prayer room, Brother Greg Nix, he always, every Sunday night, says, pray for our country. But tonight, he said, not only pray for our country, he said, but pray for the pulpits in our country. If we'd get the power of God back in the pulpit, it might make a difference in the world we live in. Amen. I don't want to be so old-fashioned that I'm stupid and we can't realize that God uses different methods. I understand that, but the message has got to stay the same. Amen. Amen and amen goes there 10,000 times, all right? 1 Kings chapter number 17. How many of us want to see God work? I mean, really? I kind of, Brother Shea had me come over there and preach this afternoon, and I took an opportunity to put my burden on that church about this citywide revival. They got excited. I believe God can do it. If God can do it in Roanoke, Alabama, you can mark her down, friend. He can do it here. Amen. Somebody told me Brother Ralph Sexton just put his tent up somewhere. I forgot what town it was. Brother Ralph Sexton's from Asheville, North Carolina. He set his tent up. They think they went about 4 weeks, had 380-something people got saved. I'd say God ain't done. Amen. Brother Stiltner and them set that tent up in Roanoke last year in November. Had 4 weeks, they had 109 people saved. I believe somebody got a hold of God, don't you? Amen. 1 Kings chapter number 17. Look at verse number 2. Verse number 2. The Bible said, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, get thee hence and turn thee eastward. Hide thyself by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook. And I have commanded the ravens to feed thee. Say the next word with me.
There.
Where?
There.
Go to verse number 9. The Lord said, arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell where?
There.
Behold, I have commanded a widow woman where?
There
to sustain me. Here's a simple thought tonight. Are you there? Are you there? Did you know, I believe God had this place specifically for Elijah. These two theirs were significant in his life. I do not believe the ravens would have showed up anywhere but there. God said, I've got a blessing for you, but you've got to be in the right place to get it. Amen. Some of us have been there and left there. Some of us don't even remember the directions to get back there. And we wonder why God's not moving and why God's not blessing. Maybe we've left there. I don't believe the little widow woman would have been anywhere but there. He said, go and dwell by that creek. He said, I have commanded the ravens. Now, that's just cool to me. I've tried to tell the birds to get out of my yard, and they don't pay me no attention. When God commanded the ravens to feed the prophet of God, where? There. There. I don't believe it would have happened anywhere else. God did not say, Elijah, just ramble around as you please. Go where you want and do what you want. Act any way you want, and I'm going to take care of you. Y'all getting this? That's the society we're living in today. We want a preacher that just makes us feel good, and we can live any way we want, and it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter where you're gay or where you're straight. Doesn't matter. None of that stuff matters. We just want to feel good. Come on, y'all listen to me. And then when something big comes along in their life and they can't get an answer to prayer, it's because they're not there. Amen. I'm sure Elijah would have much rather God said, I want you to go down to Outback and dwell there. Amen. I can handle Longhorns. Go to Longhorns. He didn't say, he said, go to a creek. I want you to sit down by that creek, and I got a flock of birds going to come feed you. Yeah. Why, you and I would respond like, yeah, right. I'm going to McDonald's. Not only did Elijah realize that there was necessary, he believed what God said. Yeah. And if we believe what God said, like we preach and sing God, we believe what God said, it'd be amazing what you might see God do in your life. Yeah. Y'all okay? We say we believe He can do anything, but we get on our knees and we pray in doubt. Yeah. Won't y'all talk to me now? Help me. Yeah. You ever pray and you doubting what you're praying? You know in your heart you're doubting why you're asking it? Well, don't expect nothing. I've done it too. I've prayed not expecting anything.
Amen.
Amen. Elijah just had enough sense to believe God. There was the place of God's will for Elijah. Elijah had to be at the right place and in the right time. I'm going to give you three thoughts about this passage of Scripture tonight, about this there. And whether or not you're there, whether or not I'm there. I believe I'm there. I believe I'm right where God wants me to be. I'm not looking for a bigger, better deal. I'm not looking for another church. Somebody said, won't you go into full-time evangelism? I don't like it now. I'm serious heart attack. Every time you ask my wife, it grieves my heart on Sunday night to go home after a long day at church and have to pack a suitcase. I hate it, but God has me to do it. I enjoy preaching once I get there, but I hate leaving home. I hate leaving you. I believe I'm there.
Amen.
I believe I'm doing exactly what God called me to do. I believe I'm in the center of God's will for my life.
Amen.
And let me just tell you something. It feels good when you get there.
Amen.
It feels good when you get there. Amen. And God has had several there's for me in my life, and He may have several for you. White Oak Springs was my there. Hadn't it been for that church, no telling where I'd be today. That was my there. Amen. The first Sunday I preached at Happy Valley. I'll never forget it. Brother Charles has been trying to get our old pulpit back from the old building over there. There's the varnish is rubbed off of that pulpit on the right left-hand side where Brother J.M.'s hand was all them years. I mean, the varnish is just gone. And I'll never forget, I know it's a tangible thing and it sounds Pentecostal to say it, but when I touched that pulpit, I felt something. You know what it was? Peace. You know what the Lord said? You're there. You're there. Wasn't no question in my mind. I didn't even have to pray about it. It feels good when you get there. It's a different pulpit. It's in a different location, but it still feels the same. It still feels like there, Brother Charles. And I thank God for it. Let me give you three thoughts tonight and we'll go to the house. I want you to notice in this story of Elijah, there was the place of God's purpose for Elijah. There was the place of God's purpose for Elijah. Do you believe God has a purpose for your life? I don't believe we was just born for nothing. The lady had the bumper sticker on the car said, born to shop. I think it's bigger than that. Amen. I don't think nobody is born to go to Walmart, except maybe Brother Robbie and Miss Tabitha. They're there every time I see them. Amen. I don't think anybody's really born to shop. God's got a bigger plan and a bigger purpose in our life than that. Would you agree? Amen. God has a there just as much as He had for Elijah. God has a there for you. How many of you believe in divine appointments? Y'all know what God, you know what a divine appointment is? It's where you get face to face with somebody, or you wind up somewhere you don't understand why you're there, but all of a sudden in a conversation something happens, and all of a sudden you know God set this up. God set this. I love those divine appointments because it's in those divine appointments that divine things happen. It's in those times when God gets you here and He gets this other person here, and brother, it's not by accident. You didn't just bump into one another. Hey, it was a divine appointment the day Brother Robbie met Brother Rusty and Miss Stacy at a yard sale. Is that right? That's a divine appointment. You didn't need none of that junk from his house. You didn't. That's Sanford's son. Okay, so it's at Walmart. Okay, I got you. Anyway, but God did that. They invited them to church. They were on the verge of the divorce. I mean, about to split up, about to call it quits, came to church, got right with God, and they've been here ever since. What I'm saying, I'm glad they were there, and I'm glad they were there, and I'm glad we were there. Hallelujah. I don't believe it would have worked if they'd have went to Fullerville. I'm not saying they ain't a good church. I don't believe it would work if they went to White Oak. Chris would probably have offended them. They wouldn't have never come back. There was a there. God made us for them, made them for us. Are y'all okay? I believe in divine appointments, and I believe if you'll look for them, God will set those things up in your life over and over and over and over again. I believe God has a divine appointment. Listen to me, teenagers. I believe He's got a divine appointment for every one of our young people. Amen. Hey, and I wouldn't be looking for that one just because she's pretty or just because he's a hunk. I'd be looking for that one that the Holy Ghost said, that's it right there. Amen. There was a place of God's purpose. God had something that He wanted to do in Elijah's life, but He had to get him in the right place to do it. Amen. Amen. I believe we're going to have some divine appointments in this RU program. There's going to be some people God's going to send in here who are as down on their luck and down in their life and is ready to throw in the towel, and they're going to walk in this place on a Friday night. They're going to hear the preached word of God, and they're going to go, I have found the place. Amen. Amen. Elijah had to get in the right place. God wants to bless you, but He can't do it if you ain't there. Amen. In Genesis chapter number 35, y'all remember Jacob and Esau? You remember Jacob? Jacob was the cheater and the con artist. Cheated his brother out of his birthright. Cheated him out of the daddy's dying blessing. Then he found out Esau was a manly man. He was out deer hunting like a boy ought to be doing. Jacob was a mama's boy. He was at home with mama. Mama finds out what's happened. She set the whole thing up. But then Esau finds out about it, and mama says, you better run. He's got his bow in his hand. You better run. So Jacob runs. And you remember when he gets in that wrestling match with God? Remember what God told him? He said, arise, get thee to Bethel. And dwell there. God had something He wanted to do in Jacob's life. You know what it was? Change his name from cheater, from con, supplanter, to Israel, prince. Are y'all listening? But He had to get him in the right place to do it. And God wants to do something in your life, but He's got to get you in the right place to do it. Wouldn't it be cool to have birds bring you lunch? Wouldn't that be awesome, man? Just, I'm talking about some crows come flying in, dropping T-bones on you. That'd be awesome, wouldn't it? Wouldn't it be something to meet a little widow woman who's about to bake a cake for her and her son and die, and all of a sudden, boy, God starts blessing, and the meal don't run out, and the oil don't run out, and you got to witness God's mighty hand working in your life, but you've got to be there to see it happen. Amen. Are you there? Are you there? I believe a lot of you are. Sometimes you can get impatient while you're there. I see people do that all the time. People get real impatient, especially people like Brother Greg. Now, Brother Greg's not that way. He's got the patience of Job. But a lot of these guys that spent all this time in the military, they move them around about every 2 or 3 years, and they have to go change to another state. Brother Eric, boy, he's a blessing. He's pastoring that church out there in Texas, doing a good job. But while he was here, about every year and a half, 2 years, his feet started itching. And I'd have to stand up and say, just hang on, Bill. Just hang on, set still. You ain't in the army no more. We ain't going to run you off every 3 years, put you somewhere else, amen? But sometimes we get impatient waiting on God to move. You remember what happened to Abraham when he got impatient? Abraham got impatient. His wife, Sarah, said, I got an idea. I got this pretty good-looking handmaid over here. Why don't you go into her and we'll have a child by her? Foolish thing to do. He goes into the handmaid. What happened? Was God going to fulfill his promise? Sure he was. And he was going to do it like he said he was. But Abraham got impatient and got in the wrong place. He is in the wrong tent, friend. I'm going to leave that alone. Would to God some of these men in America would get hold of that. Amen? You don't belong nowhere with no other woman but your wife, friend. Amen. Amen. He got in the wrong tent. Guess who was born? Ishmael. Anybody got a clue who our boys are over yonder fighting? Anybody got a clue? What all the trouble is? What all the trouble's been since the day that boy was born? It's been a handful of mess all the way. And still is today. And I believe God would be pleased, since we're not live on the radio, I'm just going to say it. I believe God would be pleased if we nuked them. I'm serious heart attack. That's what was supposed to have been done. And didn't happen. Amen? Y'all are. You see what a mess you make when you get ahead of God? See what a mess you make? That was 4,000 years ago. We're still paying for it today. Are we okay? I believe I'm biblically right there, ain't I, Brother Charles? I'm on the money. Don't get impatient in your place. Sometimes God have to make do a big work in you before he can do the work through you. Does that make sense? He may have to get you spiritually to a place where he can use you. Amen. Some people get chunked into the ministry too fast. And they're not ready for it, and it kills them. Brother Jason's been itching to start this recovery program since shortly after he got here. I've had preachers ask me, are you going to start? Are you going to start? I said, yes, we are. Yes, we are. Hey, have you got a guy? Yes, I do, but he ain't ready. He ain't ready. If I'd have thrown him into this 2 years ago, it'd have killed him. He'd probably be back on crack. But boy, when God said, it's time. It's time. What if he'd have left here in the meantime because Brother Eddie wouldn't cut the reins loose? He wouldn't have been there. He'd have missed it. Don't get impatient when you're there. God told Jacob, go back to Bethel and dwell there. Listen to me carefully. God has a purpose for your life. And he may have several purposes in your life. Looking back at my life now, I can see it was like God moving pieces on a checkerboard. Why did my daddy have to leave? I don't know. Maybe so I could move to my grandfather's farm. Just so happened, about the same time, a man named Jay Bice was starting a bus route in New Georgia. You know what that little single-wide trailer was? That little broken home, you know what it was? It was there. That was a divine appointment. Ain't no doubt in my mind. Y'all okay? There's going to be several places in your life that you know that's where God wants you to be. And sometimes, listen, when Elijah went to the brook, did God tell him what to do there? Did he give him a job to do at the brook Cherith? Eat. That's the only activity God mentioned at the brook Cherith. Are y'all staying with me? Just because you're there don't mean you have to be running something. Just because you're there don't mean you have to be doing something. Amen. Y'all okay?
Amen.
What did he tell him to do? Eat.
Take it in.
Take it in. Build your strength. Because I'm fixing to blow your mind what I'm going to do with your life. Y'all all right? I've had people come to this church. Brother Tony, you care if I use you? I won't if you say no. Brother Tony came to our church beat down to nearly nothing. He was as low as a man could get. He's sitting at that radio station in Douglasville. He ran that radio station every Sunday, and he didn't have no choice but to sit there and listen to me preach. And God told him, go down to Happy Valley, and I'll sustain you there.
Amen.
He talked with Brother Weiniger, his pastor. Brother Weiniger agreed. When Brother Tony came here, he was honest. Not many people that way. Most people come to you, they want you to think they're all ready, fired up and ready to go and blah, blah, blah. Brother Tony came to me, he said, I'm hurt. I've been through a lot, and he told me everything he'd been through. Here's what he asked me. He said, would you mind if I just sit and heal? That's character right there. I said, you sure can, brother. But if you sit too long, I'm going to build a fire under you. Amen. Amen. Hey, sometimes you just need to sit and eat. Sometimes you just need to sit and eat. It's okay if God has you sit for a while. He's preparing you for something. Sometimes you just need to take in the preaching. Sometimes you need to take in the Sunday school. That's what we've done with Brother Jason. We've just made him sit. And he's a type A, wide open as a case knife, running at both ends kind of fella. So we've kind of had to leash him, hold him back. But you know what he's been doing? He's been hearing the preaching. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Brother Freddie's Sunday school class every week. He's been getting this stuff in, the Bible Institute. He's been getting the Word of God in. Why? God's preparing him for what he's about to do. How long have you sat? Has it been 2 years? 2 years. He sat 2 years. Most people with that kind of spirit, and that's the way I am, we don't sit very well. But sometimes we got to realize sometimes that sitting is part of finding God's purpose. Amen. We okay? Not only was that place the place of God's purpose, but that place that God called there was the place of God's power.
Amen.
Are y'all listening to me? Not only was it the place of God's purpose for Elijah's life, it was a place for God to examine or show forth His power in Elijah's life. Amen. Now, man, we talk about, we sing about the power of God. There's power, power, wonder-working power. We sing all those songs, oh, Lord, send the power just now. The power of God would scare most Baptists absolutely to death.
Amen.
Amen. People get freaky in here when Legina shouts. I wish y'all could have growed up with me. And heard Evelyn Newton, Gene Williams, Gail Wright, all them women shouting at the same time. We want to see the power of God. We think we want to see the power of God, but we got to be where it's at. I'm afraid it ain't going to show up in that basketball court down there in Texas. I just don't believe the power of God's going to fall in there on old Smiley. Don't dry up on me. Preach the entire series on fakes, phonies, and frauds.
Amen.
That's what he is. He's a fake.
Amen.
He's a fraud. If he really loved Jesus like he says he loved Jesus, he'd be telling people about him.
That's right.
Sometimes before you can get people better, you got to tell them how bad they are.
Yeah. Amen.
Before you can get well, you got to realize you're sick, friend. You don't want to go to the doctor and have a tumor that big inside your belly and the doctor go, you're okay. I want you to feel good about yourself. No, man. You want that doctor to be straight. You got a tumor, Jack. Something's got to be done.
Right.
Amen. Anyway, I ain't preaching on Joel Osteen tonight. I'm preaching on being there.
Amen.
I just believe there's a lot of places it ain't going to show up. Listen, it's not going to show up where this book is not welcome. Let me say it again. It's not going to show up where this book is not welcome.
Amen.
Them phony Bible toting places, it ain't going to show up there. So you know what they have to do? They manufacture it.
Yeah. Yeah. Amen.
I'm telling the truth. They manufacture it with a rock band and a praise and worship team. They manufacture it with smoke and mirrors and lights. There's a big one just local. You know what they hand you when you come in the door? Earplugs. Y'all better not come in here with no earplugs. Well, what I need earplugs go to church for? Well, wait till that band cranks up, you'll know. Y'all okay? They're trying to create life. They're trying to create some kind of activity where there ain't none. You cannot manufacture the power of God, people. You can't work it up. Now, you can work up an emotional spirit. They do that in AC/DC concerts when I was a teenager. There's a spirit in that place too, friend. Y'all all right? You can work that up. You can work people up at a pep rally. But you can't work up the Holy Ghost. Are y'all all right? You just got to be where He wants to be. And the Lord said, where two or three are gathered in My name, there I'll be in the midst of them. Amen. Amen, amen. I believe you get to singing them. I can't even talk. You get to singing them old hymns. You get to singing about Him. And I believe He said, I like that. I believe we'll visit right there for a little while. They bragging on me. Come here, angels. Let me show you how it's done. Listen to that. They were sinners on their way to hell. Trusted Me as their Savior. Now they're lifting Me up and lifting up My name. That's not what I like right there. The power of God will show up on that thing. You know truly why I believe somebody gets saved here every week? It ain't me. And it ain't you. It ain't your ability to do junior church, Brother Thomas. You come here, you hated kids. Especially certain ones of them. Are y'all listening to me? Ain't it funny how God will stick the most unlikely rascal in the whole place? Who would I have help in junior church? Let's see, Thomas Hogan. Am I right, Miss Amanda? But look at there. You know what God's doing? He's showing us it ain't us. It's the power of God. You get an old lost sinner around where the power of God is, they're going to get saved. They might not get it on the first dose, but they come a time or two, they're going to get in. Amen. It was the place of God's power. And Elijah got to witness God's power in his life over and over and over. Let me tell you something. So have you. You say, well, we ain't called fire down from heaven. Believe we have. Remember how the Holy Spirit presented Himself on the day of Pentecost? Cloven tongues of what? Fire. I believe we've seen the Holy Ghost move in this place. And by the way, that ain't a Pentecostal term. That's a Bible term. That's His name. He's not a thing. He's a person. He's a third person of the Godhead. Hey, without Him, you wouldn't be saved. Without Him, you wouldn't understand that Bible. And without Him, nothing would ever happen in this place again. And I believe I've been to several churches in my travels where He ain't welcome. I've been in them. Deader than 4 o'clock in the morning. Somebody said amen, you'd give them a heart attack. I broke up a meeting right after the Lord called me to preach. I was still fishing tournaments. Me and BJ, we was in that club down there in Douglasville. There was a fellow who used to build propellers. You remember him? I led that guy to the Lord in my boat. Well, his church was having revival, and it's just up the road here. I'll tell you where it's at. It's just, I won't say the name of it, but it's between here and Carrollton. Anyway, that was his church. And he got saved and started going to that church where his family went, and he said, you got to come to our revival one night. I said, well, I sure will. So I loaded up and went to revival meeting with him. Boy, they had a choir. I'm talking about they was awesome. It was all patriotic. They was doing all patriotic songs. It was beautiful, man. The preacher got up and preached from John 3:16. He said something I liked, and before I knew it, I said, amen. And then we were sitting on the back left-hand side. Everybody in the place. The preacher stopped. had to regroup his thoughts. And I thought, man, I just messed this up. I wanted to say it again, but I didn't. I wished I'd have had Evelyn Newton sitting beside me. Amen. One of them women to sure enough shout. But listen, I've been to those places. And if we're not careful, this can become one. Well, see, there is not only a place physically, but there is a place spiritually. Y'all okay? But when they sing those kind of songs they sung tonight, he's taking care of me. I have a father who can. I want it to move me to worship. Not just sitting there like a chicken pecking corn. Dave, y'all okay? There was a place of God's purpose, but there was the place of God's power. I'll give you one more. Is that all right? Not only was it the place of God's purpose, not only was it the place of God's power, but it was there was the place of God's provision. You know what God did both places? He not only used Elijah, he fed him. Both places, he sustained him, gave him exactly what he needed. Remember what the preacher said, told the woman, she said, only got a little bit, me and my son's going to eat it and die. He said, no, I'll tell you what you do, you take that little bit and make me a cake first. Well, that sounds arrogant, doesn't it? Yeah. No, maybe he just done learned God can take care of him. Yeah. Yeah. Amen. And God provided. Yeah. Sometimes we wonder why God's not taking care of us. Maybe we're not there. We may be there physically. We may be in the right church. Maybe in the right relationship, but something's wrong in here. Yeah. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. I was talking about Rusty and Stacy being on the verge of divorce when they come here. They're in the right relationship. They just wasn't there. Y'all all right? Every man and woman I counsel in my office, divorce is not always God's will. Matter of fact, I don't think it ever is. Amen. I think two people that used to be in love let a bunch of stuff get in between them and cause them just not to be there anymore. Sleeping in the same bed, but miles apart. Are you okay? And we wonder why God ain't blessing. We ain't there. We're not there. God, why aren't you providing? We're not there. Some of us know exactly where there is and refuse to go back to it. Did God use Jacob? Not before he went back to Bethel. Did God use Elijah? Not before he went to Cherith. He had to get there first. He had to get there first. You know what I have to do? I have to get there every now and then myself. Amen. I get discouraged. I get weary. I get tired. And I realize, man, I'm preaching these people to get right and I ain't.
Yeah, come on,
I'm not where I ought to be.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Amen.
Are you there? I'm listening for the crows.
Yes, sir.
I'm looking for God's provision. I'm not worried about this economy. How good, how much would that help? I could worry about it. That wouldn't fix it, would it? I'm just going to trust the same thing that got us through that Y2K crash. Remember that? Remember how awful that was? World almost ended, didn't it? No, we're just going to trust God, and I believe He's going to provide. You know what he does for his church? I know churches that are sitting on loads of money. I mean, they just got hundreds of thousands of dollars in a bank somewhere. That's stupid if you ask me. I'd hate the Lord come back and we had $100,000 in the bank. Man, you know what? Do you know how many missionaries that feed? God never has blessed us like that. We make it from month to month. There's been many weeks Brother Tom's told me, don't deposit your check yet. I got to get this morning's offering in the bank before you put your check in. That don't bother me. I've lived that way my whole life. You know, why change now? Amen. But you know what? God's never let us miss a thing.
Amen.
There's never been a day, Brother Clint, we've had to say, sorry, we can't run the buses this week. Not one time. Not one time in 19 years, not one time have we had to say, we can't run that bus no more. We can't afford the gas. They've canceled the insurance. Not one time. You know what? Because we're there, God's provided every single thing we need. When the fire marshals came on us and tried to cut us, shut us down, God provided everything we needed. When it come time for that second mortgage to be due, $250,000, you know what God did? God took care of it. Why? Because we're there. Because we're there. Don't happen nowhere else. Don't happen nowhere else, just there. Are you there tonight? Sure, I'm glad I am. I believe about every one of you are too. Some of you are just sitting by the brook right now. Some of you are just being fed week in. I'm your crow, by the way. I'm the one dropping you bread and flesh on Sunday morning, Sunday evening. I love being your blackbird, amen? But you got to eat. The ravens did their job. Elijah could have let the meat lay on the ground. I'm going to do my job. I'm going to give it to you, but you got to be willing to take it in. Amen. Even the broccoli that you don't like. Amen. If God gives it to you, he has a reason for it. Amen.
Amen.
I believe you're there. I believe we're there as a church. Now let's just wait on God. See what he does next. Maybe you're there physically, but maybe in here you're just not there. The devil can use other people. He can use Facebook just to get somebody to say one little thing. You know what it'll cause you to do? Get up and leave there. Get up and leave the place where God's blessing you, where God's feeding you, and go somewhere God ain't. I'm not going to let anybody or any email or any chat room or any Facebook drive me away from there. Because I know what it took to get me there. It took the blood of Calvary. So nothing anybody's got to say is going to hinder that. Amen. You need to make your mind up the same. I don't care if you've got Facebook. As long as you ain't cussing one another on it. If you'd just do right, it'd be okay.
Amen.
And don't advertise your own dirty laundry on there. If you do, don't get mad when people talk about it. If you're going to sin, don't put a picture of it on Facebook. Because I know this crowd, they're going to light you up. Y'all all right? You're glad you're there, say amen.
Amen.
Let's stand to our feet tonight. Brother Todd, y'all come and get us a song.